Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, yes, Thursday it is. Should I make it rain with Adam Schein here on VSiN? And my goodness, we have so much to do today. What a day in sports. What a day in sports betting. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have given extensions to their coach and general manager. And this is actually a really big deal when it comes to betting Tampa Bay for this upcoming season and why that over is absolutely positively going to hit. So we will get into some big picture plays here for Tampa Bay and for the Buccaneers and for Baker Mayfield as we move along. Phenomenal baseball day yesterday, phenomenal baseball day this afternoon. We have a lot to say in terms of baseball betting and some interesting things that have happened, of course, in Major League Baseball over the last 24 hours. The NBA draft, off the charts. Absolutely, positively incredible. Patrick Maher is going to join us. We'll talk some NBA with our good friend, Mr. Patty. Of course, we'll talk to Patrick about the Lions and betting on the NFC North for this upcoming season. I want to start the show today with some of our hottest takes and big picture plays when it comes to everything that transpired in the first round of the NBA draft last night. And the Dallas Mavericks were able to capture the flag. And Cooper Flagg, obviously, was the number one pick in the draft. And we knew this the minute he decided to go to Duke. And we knew this the minute that the Dallas Mavericks won the draft lottery with a 1.8% chance. And it's kind of the worst kind of good luck when it comes to an organization that foolishly and erroneously traded Luka Doncic in the worst trade that I've ever seen in the history of sports. I mean, Nico Harrison and the ownership group did not deserve this. The fans did. The fans absolutely did. They had to watch their organization make that awful trade. They were gutted. They were disgusted. And now they get a player in Cooper Flagg that I believe is going to be a generational player, going to be an annual perennial all-star. I think Cooper Flagg is sensational. And I think the impacts on the Dallas Mavericks is going to be instant. Like, we know Kyrie Irving, as we speak, is not healthy. But you look at the upside here for the lineup with the Dallas Mavericks with a healthy Kyrie, and they could sign someone to be a stopgap until Kyrie is healthy. I mean, this is an excellent team. Now, obviously, you need Anthony Davis to be healthy. There's no question about that. But if you have AD who's going to be locked and loaded and Derek Lively's great and they have depth, you know, think about PJ Washington, you know, depth in terms of bigs. Cooper Flagg, to me, is going to score 20 points a game. I mean, he is your rookie of the year in the NBA. I mean, I don't even know how you can wager on anybody else. I will absolutely bet Cooper Flagg for the rookie of the year. Still have Klay Thompson. Still have Spencer Dinwiddie. Still have a lot of good players. And I think that when you look at it from a Mavericks perspective, you know, if you listen to Cooper Flagg during the ESPN broadcast last night, he said that Jason Kidd told him that he's going to have the ball in his hand quite often. You think about Kidd, legendary Hall of Fame point guard, in addition to obviously being a sensational coach. This is kind of a really big deal here when you look at it from a Dallas perspective on a few fronts. Number one, it shows the creativity. Number two, it shows the versatility for someone like Cooper Flagg. Number three, Jason Kidd's already going into the lab. And for someone like me, who's a diehard Knicks fan, who's been waiting for some kind of sign from the sports gods that the Knicks are actually going to hire a head coach, what a concept that would be. Listen, I mean, that's as clear a signal that Jason Kidd is not going to join my New York Knicks. But it's interesting when you look at the Western Conference odds for this upcoming season. And we talk about teams in the West, and we've counted seven of them that I firmly believe have a real shot to win the Western Conference or play in the Western Conference Finals. You know, you look at the Mavericks' odds, compare and contrast to the odds, oh, I don't know, of the LA Lakers. And all of a sudden, there is a conversation here when it comes to Luka's current team versus Luka's old team and which of these teams has a better shot to ultimately win the West. Now, I will say that the Lakers right now to me are the better bets, but it's not by much. You have to anticipate that the Lakers will get someone to protect the rim. I mean, the Lakers have the fifth best odds as we speak to win the Western Conference. You see the Mavericks at 25-1. Look, do I think it's worth looking into the crystal ball and sprinkling a little on Dallas? If you believe in Jason Kidd's coaching, Cooper Flagg scoring 20 points a game, I mean, his numbers on the collegiate level, I think, will be eerily similar to year one in the pros. 20 points a game, 8 rebounds a game. He knows how to handle the ball. He's great on defense. His effort, energy, will to win is absolutely off the charts. And Dallas really has no choice here in terms of going for it. By the way, the Lakers, you know, just made a trade and traded up to try and get a draft pick, a high pick at the beginning of round number two. Shams Charania broke that story. Look, they can't have the optics of Dallas being better than them. Mark Williams got traded to Phoenix last night. I mean, how come Mark Williams, who's the ultimate pickup for the Lakers after the Luka deal, he can pass the physical in Charlotte. He can pass the physical in Phoenix. He somehow can't pass the physical with the LA Lakers. Crazy. So there's a lot of tentacles here, a big domino effect when it comes to not only Cooper Flagg, but what it means for the Lakers, what it means for the Western Conference, what it means for Jason Kidd, what it means for the Knicks. And I'm just absolutely thrilled here for the Mavericks fans who went through hell and back in terms of everything that transpired with Luka Doncic. And this is why I hate the draft lottery. I think it's awful. You know, and now all of a sudden you put someone like Flagg on that team. Yeah, buckle up, Buttercup. Mavericks can absolutely be a force and a factor in the Western Conference. Philadelphia took Vijay Edgecombe with the third overall pick in the draft. And this is exactly what we talked about on Tuesday's sizzling edition of Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Edgecombe had to be the pick. And we talked to Tom Crean today on our SiriusXM radio show. And he would know. He coached, obviously, Dwayne Wade at Marquette. And he coached Victor Oladipo at Indiana. And on Tuesday on my SiriusXM radio show, Jay Billis, the outstanding ESPN college basketball and NBA analyst, compared Edgecombe to how he felt about Wade coming out of Marquette and Oladipo coming out of Indiana. So, listen, I think that Philly, they couldn't draft an unprofessional knucklehead and take that risk on someone like Ace Bailey, who I think is going to be a stud. And I think Utah absolutely stole him, and we'll get to that from a Utah perspective. But with all the drama, the expectations, the negativity with Philly, Edgecombe's a star. I've talked to Scott Drew on multiple occasions about him. He's smart. He's a leader. He's a great kid. He's physical, a willing defender. You have someone like Edgecombe with Tyrese Maxey in the backcourt. All of a sudden, that is, I firmly believe, elite. In terms of a potential backcourt, I mean, if you're Nick Nurse, you want toughness, you want great character guys. Tyrese Maxey is one of my favorite players in the NBA. This is good stuff. The problem is everything else. Joel Embiid, you know, is coming off the surgery. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think he's a losing ball player. There was no process. That was something made up to kick losing and next year down the road. I still can't believe that savvy Philadelphia fans ultimately bought that. That was absolutely absurd. Joel Embiid prioritizing the Olympics, Team USA, over Philly last year, telling our friend Timmy Bontemps from ESPN that he was, at the end of the day, he was going to take a look at, you know, back-to-backs and not even play them before the season started, and then he didn't. I mean, Embiid is not the guy. Paul George, I mean, he's responsible, due in part, for Oklahoma City winning a championship, you know, with the SGA chaired. So I just think it's still a mess of a situation, but it adds to the genius of the draft pick. They needed a great player, sure thing, in terms of attitude, play. Love that combo with Maxey. Look, I hope for the Philly fans I'm wrong, but I, even in the wide open Eastern Conference, there is no shot I take the cheese on Philly. You remember on our Make It Rain with Adam Schein preview show, you had a lot of smart people, the JVTs of the world, trying to tell me Philly's going to be amazing this year. You know, Charles Barkley was on my SiriusXM radio show. Love Philly. I told you, bang the under. I do not like Philly. I always bet against them. I'll always be right. You know, and I feel bad for Nick Nurse. I mean, Daryl Morey has no idea what the hell he's doing. What a complete and utter mess of an organization, which is why Edgecombe absolutely positively had to be the guy. So Ace Bailey, who was unprofessional and didn't work out for anybody, he goes to Utah with that fifth overall pick. And listen, we hit on terms of the bets with Edgecombe and Philly. And listen, in terms of Ace Bailey, I did not play this one. He was plus 300 to go fifth overall. I just figured the Jazz might be nervous. Danny Ainge is like, look, I'm Danny Ainge. I've won championships as an exec, as a player. You know, he made a deal in terms of I'm just going to do whatever's best for the team. Ace Bailey could end up being the second best player in this draft. And, you know, he said, screw all the shenanigans, the individual workouts, canceling on Philadelphia. He's going to draft an absolute stud. And then he trades up for Walter Clayton Jr. at 18, who was Mr. Clutch and Mr. Toughness and won a championship. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but there were some OKC kind of vibes in terms of building something special for 3, 4, 5 years down the road. That's how sensational I think this draft was last night. I thought the two biggest winners outside of Dallas and Philadelphia, I thought the two biggest winners were Utah, they cleaned up, and the San Antonio Spurs. Dylan Harper is going to be an absolute stud. They picked him at number 2 overall. That was as expected. Couldn't even bet on that. Carter Bryant, I'm obsessed with, out of Arizona, 3-and-D player, phenomenal willing defender, hits all the shots. You factor these guys in with, obviously, Fox and Wemby and Castle. I'm telling you, do not sleep on the San Antonio Spurs for this upcoming season.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You want to bet smarter this football season? VSiN Pro can help you start out strong. Get our new NFL betting guide, which comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. How about that? And early access means better shot at spotting the value in the futures markets before the lines move. Now's the perfect time to join with our football special, $175 for the full VSiN Pro access from today to the Super Bowl. It's every sport we cover every single day at an early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. You're going to be first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season, packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you'll get a daily best bet email from our expert hosts and guests. Real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Full access to VSiN.com's analytics and the tools and the pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time right now to shine on basketball. And listen, the Kristaps Porzingis deal to the Atlanta Hawks really was fascinating on so many different levels. Three-team deal, and you see that the Nets ultimately get Terrence Mann, and they got a draft pick that they used, obviously, last night. And the Hawks get Kristaps Porzingis, and Niang goes to the Boston Celtics. And make no mistake, this is, from a Boston standpoint, it's a salary dump. And it's logical. And I think Niang's a good player, by the way. But, you know, Jason Tatum is out for the year, and they need to act accordingly. So they trade Drew Holiday, and they trade Kristaps Porzingis, and these guys will always be entrenched forever in Celtics history and lore, and they got this team back to the promised land and the ultimate expectation for this franchise to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy. And they did it brilliantly last year, and both struggled a little bit to be on the court this past year, and Holiday left, and now Porzingis is out. I think that now it sets it up well for Brad Stevens, who made another terrific trade with the Porzingis deal, gives them options. They could stay as is. They can have Brown and White be the 1-2 and see how many games they could win in a relatively weak Eastern Conference and a wide-open Eastern Conference. They can shop Brown. They can listen to offers for Brown. It would have to be, I would assume, a sweetheart kind of deal. One that, you know, is unprecedented in terms of compensation or something that Brad Stevens simply does not expect to get back in return. So I think that when you look at the Eastern Conference odds, you have to think that Boston will try to keep Brown and try to keep White. I think that will be part of the deal here, because it's tough to argue this from a Boston perspective in any other way. I do think Vegas is sleeping a little bit here on the Pistons and the Hawks, to be honest with you, but I can see this. I mean, right now, to me, that's how I would stack it. I mean, Knicks don't have a coach. You know, Donovan Mitchell hasn't been able to get out of the second round. I love Orlando. Kind of need to see it. I mean, if you're Brad Stevens, you're going to save on the luxury tax. You're going to save getting rid of some players. Thank them for their time. Amazing. Won a championship. You know, gives them some financial flexibility. I mean, can a Brown, White-led Celtics team win 48 games? 52 games? 55 games? I mean, it's not impossible. I love the fact that the Celtics have better odds to win the East than the Philadelphia 76ers. So I get it here. I mean, I think this is really brilliant here when you look at it from a Boston Celtics perspective. Phoenix Suns, I thought, had a terrific night last night, and I killed them for the Kevin Durant deal. Look, they made last night pay off. Let's be honest here. The Suns were able to make a trade for Mark Williams. They also were able to draft Moloch, the incredible center. Fell a little bit, the Duke big man. This is an amazing 1-2 punch. I'm kind of obsessed with it. Once you saw Ace Bailey go 5, that meant you weren't going to see many trades. I love Trey Johnson going number 6. Fear solid for number 7. I thought that could be a spot for Moloch. And, you know, then the Nets did what they did. Raptors did what they did. You know, I don't think those were necessarily, you know, obvious picks in any way, shape, or form, or, you know, ones you would grade out as an A. I think that the Suns night was outstanding. I thought they did an excellent job. They deserve a lot of credit. And I think that they really slammed it out of the park here with regards to getting a couple of bigs. I mean, the running joke was, you know, and we talked about this earlier in the week, you know, every player on that roster was seemingly a shooting guard. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you factor in Devin Booker and Green, and if Bradley Beal could stay healthy, and you have, obviously, two monster bigs in Moloch and Mark Williams, and you know how much I love Mark Williams. I can't believe the Lakers failed his physical. And you have Grayson Allen. Or you have some dudes. You can. I don't think the Suns are making the playoffs, but they're in much better shape today than they were 24 hours ago. Hornets did exactly what we said they were going to do. The bet hit plus money. Told you Tuesday that was one of our favorites. Con Knipple goes to Charlotte. That was excellent. That was fantastic. And give the Hornets a lot of credit for that. They got McNeely later in the draft as well. I thought that the Hornets really had an excellent draft. And they deserve a ton of credit. And we were all over that in terms of the options. And Knipple and McNeely. Getting those guys, excellent college players whose games are going to translate to the pros, played for big-time programs, excellent stuff here when you look at it for the Charlotte Hornets. The Miami Heat had a vintage pick. I felt the same way about Jokic falling to them and Pat Riley scooping them up late in the first round, as they did when they took Jaime Jaquez out of UCLA a couple of years ago. There's a Dragic comparison that I think is absolutely spot on. A ton of upside, a ton of pop, a ton of sizzle. Kasperis is a terrific, terrific player. And I was stunned that he was there. I thought he would go significantly earlier. That was an absolute steal. I was surprised that the Nets did not take him with that 19th pick. So Miami and Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley said thank you very much. I'm sure you've seen the video of Riley going nuts when they made that pick. So I thought that was really good stuff here when you looked at it from the perspective of everything going on with the Miami Heat, who earlier this week failed to get Kevin Durant, and that made absolutely no sense. So I'm stunned that the Nets used all 5 first-round picks. Absolutely positively stunned. I did not think there was a chance that that was going to happen. And this is why I will always defend the Timberwolves for the Gobert deal, the Knicks for the Bridges deal, the Pacers, who got killed, I praise them for it, for the Pascal Siakam deal. Donovan Mitchell with Cleveland. I defend Orlando with Bane. When you can get a great role player for your team, that's what those guys are. Donovan Mitchell's at a bit of a higher level, but Gobert fits a need, and Bridges fit a need, and Bane as a three-point artist fits a need. You do it because the draft's a crapshoot. Guys, put the Nets first-round picks on the board, please. I mean, how do they do? Fine. Okay. I don't know. You hope that two of these guys hit. So the draft is a crapshoot. Did the Nets get significantly better last night? I mean, the answer is maybe, and I don't mean that in a positive way. And I'm not here to rip Brooklyn. I'm using this as a springboard for the take that at the end of the day, you just got to be honest here. When you have a chance, if you're one of those aforementioned teams, if you're Minnesota, you can get to the Western Conference Finals. If you're the Knicks, you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. If you're Orlando, you take that shot. You see what happened with Siakam. You always trade the first round picks because the Nets were unlucky. They had a golden opportunity to get a lottery pick. I mean, get a top three pick, get Cooper Flagg. Didn't happen, right? You know, there were seven great players in this draft. They all went. There were no surprises. They went eight. Either they would trade up for Ace Bailey. Maybe they would have if he was six or seven. And that wasn't the case. You know, he goes number five. So how'd the Nets do? Okay. And I'm not ripping Brooklyn, but there is a bigger perspective here on why you always make those trades in the NBA. Tell you the team that failed last night, the Pelicans. My goodness. How the hell do you trade away a 2026 unprotected pick? And it's the Atlanta Hawks who get that benefit. And by the way, then they draft Asa out of Georgia, which was a sensational pick. He was one of my favorite picks in this entire draft. And the fact that Atlanta was able to get a 2026 first-round pick from the Pelicans that's unprotected, I mean, it's crazy. If you look at the Western Conference odds, the Pelicans are at the bottom of the barrel. You look at projected win totals for next year, and the Pelicans are at the bottom of the barrel. They just traded for Jordan Poole. They don't know which way is up, right? And I like Queen, but you can't give up an unprotected 2026 first-round pick when you could end up getting the number one pick in the draft. That is terrible. And I'll give you one other here, and this is important. I mean, look at this. The Pelicans are 130-1. And I would make the case I like the Suns. I like the Kings. I like the Blazers even more than the Pelicans. Hit my point home. Also, flip side, don't sleep on the Hawks this year. I'm telling you. This year and then next year with an unprotected 2026 first-round pick from New Orleans, Quinn Snyder's a great coach. Don't sleep on Atlanta.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Joining us right now live on the Progressive Guest Line, Mr. Patrick Maher, critically acclaimed host of VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, weeknight 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Patty and the big guy. Patty, how are you?
A little casual Adam Schein on a Thursday, midsummer or early summer, so, as it gets cooking out in the East Coast. I like it.
I made the move last Friday. Last Friday was the first day of summer. And I'm like, you know what? I'm hot. It's summer. I'm going to do it. You know, everyone else, you know, when we had Mitch and Paulie on from the College World Series, you know, Zach Cohen's wearing Nike t-shirts every week. Patty's got the VSiN polo. I'm like, you know, I'm a suits and dress shirt guy. Right. That's how I roll. That's what I'm doing. You know, we're on TV. You're on TV. We're doing the show here on the VSiN Watch app and on YouTube every single day. But for the summer, it's a mentality. Sharp, cool, comfortable. Also, that's what they call the Patrick Maher. Now, let's get into this NBA draft, Patty. And I got to tell you, I think Cooper Flagg is going to be sensational. And when I say sensational, I mean generational. When I say generational, I mean right away. So whether it's Rookie of the Year, whether it's the Mavericks this season, let's move this forward, Patty, from a betting perspective. Your take on Cooper Flagg's impact on the league, on awards, on the Mavericks this season?
Well, first off, he's minus 190 rookie of the year. I'll get back to that in just a second, but I agree with you. I think the offensive and defensive versatility from Flagg is really going to benefit this team. For example, if Anthony Davis goes out, he can play the four. He can guard one through five. They kept talking about how young he is, and I think that's important, Adam, because he's 18. He's going to start the season 18 years old. He can only get better. His work ethic's crazy. He's a dog out there. He'll take a charge. My question, he's got a good mid-range game, great facilitator. My question is, can he create a shot? Game four, fourth quarter, NBA Finals, SGA says, I'll take over. Is Flagg going to be the type of player to do that? I'm not positive quite yet, but as I said, he's 18. But then you go to the versatility as a wing with Kyrie playing with Flagg. That all of a sudden starts to get very interesting, where Luka and Kyrie were getting each other's way. I think Flagg a better complement to Kyrie. Look, they're 28-1 up to 33-1 as far as the futures, the Mavericks, to win a championship. I know the West is brutal, but this team is loaded.
Listen, I'm with you here. And, you know, there are going to be 7, 8, 9 teams. I mean, it just doesn't work in terms of math, that probably internally or pressure from a fan base believe that they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals. And I think Dallas is clearly one of them. So I think that's going to be fascinating here. And look, I was not surprised that Edgecombe went number 3 last night. You know, I was fascinated to see what was going to happen with Ace Bailey, who's clearly getting the wrong advice. And, you know, I don't have a problem if, you know, players, NFL, NBA, baseball, we've seen it before, try and control where they go, right? I mean, John Elway did it. Eli Manning did it.
Sure.
Caleb Williams thought about it. You know, Ace Bailey tried to do it. It didn't work. Good for Danny Ainge. You're the Utah Jazz. You got a top 3 player, maybe top 2 player in this draft. I loved every single second of what Danny Ainge did last night, taking Ace Bailey.
Well, I also loved what Danny Ainge did taking Walter Clayton Jr., who we saw just be the best player on a team that won a national championship. You know, the age conversation, Adam, it drives me crazy. He's 22 years old. That means he's ready to go. He's going to give you 12 years instead of 14 in the pros. That makes no sense. But going back to Ace Bailey, he's a kid. He's getting horrific advice. You know, the videos coming out after he was drafted by the Jazz don't look great, but we work in a space where we're constantly talking about value. Value, 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 value. When Ace Bailey is sitting there at 5, potentially, I'm saying upside offensively could be the best player on the board. You have to take him. There's too much value sitting there, and you hope he grows up with Will Hardy and likes being a Jazz. But don't get it twisted. Ainge always has something up his sleeve. This could be a pawn. Ainge is always working. Can I just tell you on Trey Johnson quickly, because good job, Michael. I see the graphic up here going 6 to the Wizards. 8.5-1 rookie of the year. Look, minus 190, Adam, on Cooper Flagg. Most likely he's going to win it, but injuries do happen. Trey Johnson is a freaking pure scorer. The kid out of Texas, and there's going to be plenty of opportunity on a terrible team for him to score with the Wizards. A great 3-point shooter. He likes to score. I like Trey Johnson, 8.5-1 rookie of the year.
You know, it's interesting. On numbers, if you look at the top 10, I think Cooper Flagg's my pick, right? But if you're looking to sprinkle a little now, Trey Johnson and Ace Bailey, to me, are the guys, because they're going to pump in the points, right? And if you solely view that award based upon who scores the most points, and as opposed to, you know, an MVP kind of thing with Cooper Flagg for, you know, rookie of the year, I love that with Trey Johnson. I love that with Ace Bailey as well. Patty, first time we've talked since the Kevin Durant trade. I'm curious to get your take on KD and the impact. I love that deal for the Houston Rockets.
Well, what are the Suns doing? I'll take 150 players in the NBA over Jalen Green. Adam, we know what Jalen Green is. You're not going to win with freaking Jalen Green. I have no clue. I understand he's going to be 37, Durant, pretty soon. So maybe you couldn't get as much back. But you nailed it. this is exactly what the Rockets needed. You know, I'm not a big KD guy because how happy is he going to be also plays into the equation. But if he's happy and motivated, this Rocket team's going to be legit. I love the move.
Yeah, I do as well. And I think that Houston has a real shot to ultimately win the Western Conference when it's all said and done. Of course, in the Eastern Conference, I mean, you got to talk about the injuries, Patty, and you got to talk about Tatum and you know, Dame, and you got to talk about Tyrese Haliburton and the fact that these guys, in essence, are all out for next year. Do you have, after the draft, and we got to wait for free agency, obviously. We're going to get monster trades next week. But is there an early in the Eastern Conference, when you look at the odds, you know, Orlando plus 550? I think the Hawks could be a real sleeper team at 22-1. You know, I like what they did in terms of this past week. Orlando with Desmond Bane. I'm not ruling out Boston. Your Pistons are juicy at 16-1. What are some plays you like early here after the first wave of the offseason?
Yeah, right before I came on, I heard your Hawk breakdown. I heard your draft breakdown. That was tremendous. I got two words for you. Detroit basketball. Are we freaking crazy? The 76ers are 10-1, and the Pistons are 16-1. The Knicks, who the Pistons pushed, are plus 290. No offense to Theo and the Shine family along with the Cats. The Pistons... at 16-1, Shine. This is ridiculous. Durin, Thompson, Stewart, Ivy, Holland, and I didn't even mention Cade, who averaged 9 dimes and 26 points. The vets, the flexibility. This is an insane number. The East is wide open. I do like the Magic. I love Bane for them. The Pistons are better. I'm sorry, they just are. The Pistons in the East, to come out of the East, they're tied essentially with the 76. The Pacers have dropped down to 15-1, the latest I looked. So you're telling me without Haliburton, that offense falls apart. You're telling me if Cade and Haliburton, you understand the comparison. We have Cade, you have nothing, and we're the same odds?
Yeah.
No. The value's on the Pistons.
And if I would get in on Detroit now, because if Detroit adds a couple of vets that make sense
which
to that
they will.
Which they will. I can absolutely. The Pistons were that close to beating the Knicks. And obviously, we talk about what happened with Hardaway at the end of that game. You know, game four. That really changed everything. If I'm a Pistons fan like you, I'm not over it. So I'm fascinated by that take. I agree with you on Detroit. I said as much last segment. But, Patty, we're getting close to July. Training camp opens up in a month. How you feeling about your Lions right now? How would you stack them in the ultra-competitive NFC North and why?
I've got them in third place. You lose both coordinators. You lose the best center in football. You have the second most difficult schedule in football. Look at the quarterbacks they're about to face. 15 wins last year. It's not going to happen. I like the Packers in division. They won 11 games in a disastrous year for that franchise last year. They were 1-5, the Packers, in division. You flip one or two of those games, it's a completely different story. Love played injured all last year. The Packers are going to win the North, Mr. Shine.
Wow. I'll tell you right now, you know which bet I like in the North? I like Minnesota plus 400. I think a lot of smart people are sleeping on Minnesota. A lot of smart people are sleeping on Minnesota. Patrick, as always,
keep cool, Adam.
Unbelievable stuff.
Keep cool.
It's hot. It's too hot.
Watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you looking for a more exciting way to bet? It's called xcuta.com, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. And it's the future of futures wagering. Combines the adrenaline of live auction, strategy of sports betting or fantasy picks. Easy to use, works for any sports. Over 1,000 teams and players and golfers and drivers. xCutter adaptable to any sports, even horse racing. It's free to sign up. You pick who you want to bid on. Customize your own auction. Set your winnings, invite your friends to play, even create auctions for free. X-Cutta has free auctions every single day at 3, 6, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Send an email to sports@xcutta.com. Mention Visa, they're going to give you a 3-month player promo code to get started. X-Cutta is a sports cow cutter. Again, that's xcutta.com, X-C-U-T-T-A. Welcome back, Make It Rain with Adam Schein. Time for some news, notes, nuggets, and nightly plays. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have given contract extensions to Todd Bowles, their head coach, and their general manager, Jason Light. And this is absolutely, positively, richly deserved. And what these guys have been able to do, and have given you all the nuggets of domination, jubilation, what they do in terms of dominating the draft and second contracts and starting ball players. I mean, this is a brilliantly run organization that is always in the mix to win and do special things and outkick expectations. And I think that's an important backdrop here when you take a look at their schedule. And a signature game week one of the NFL season, Tampa, Atlanta, both are, you know, co-favorites to win the division. You know, it's not necessarily an easy schedule for Tampa to start the season, but I'll tell you, at this stage, you bet against the Bucs at your own risk. I like the over, 9.5, minus 105. I think that the Buccaneers, when you look at the NFC South odds, should be the team to beat, and Vegas agrees. The division is weak. I think Atlanta is going to be much better than Vegas does. I disagree with how low the win total is for Atlanta. I disagree with plus 250 in terms of winning the division. Not out of the realm of possibility that you see two teams from the division ultimately make the playoffs. New Orleans could be the worst team in the NFL. Carolina's better, but certainly not ready for primetime. I think that both the Bucs and the Falcons will hit on the over for this upcoming season. And I love, absolutely love, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over in terms of the win total. And it's time for Baker Mayfield to get respect, right? When you start looking at Mayfield, you see some of these, you know, top 10 quarterback rankings. And, you know, Mayfield deserves to be on these lists. I mean, he's had, a series of great seasons. I don't know how many times he has to do it before he ultimately gets the respect that he richly deserves. So that's my take when it comes to the Buccaneers and a winning perspective, a betting perspective for this upcoming season. Let's get into some baseball. And it was a great afternoon when we take a look at Major League Baseball. Have some great games going on. This Astros-Phillies series has been a ton of fun. Phenomenal pitching all week. Great games. Just amazing, amazing juice and sizzle. And Astros are leading the Philadelphia Phillies 1-0. 1-0 as we speak. That series has been a lot of fun when you look at it. And right now it is 1-0. A barn burner here for the Astros and the Philadelphia Phillies. We have the Rays clubbing the Royals. Boy, shame on me with my Royals bet. Shame, shame, shame. Reagan's got hurts. Team can hit. Really just a bitter disappointment here for my Kansas City Royals, who just continue to struggle mightily when you look at this baseball team and how inconsistent they have been throughout the course of the year. Cubbies are up 2-0 on the St. Louis Cardinals. You realize only 4 games separate these teams in the loss column, 3 in the win column. Cubs win today would obviously go a long way. I think that Chicago has really done an excellent job this season. I think they are absolutely legit. And by the way, you look at their schedule, look at their talent. You take a look at their upside. You take a look at, you know, if they can add another pitcher to the mix. You look at Amanga, and he was absolutely incredible today. Pitched really well. Shota did an excellent job, and having him back is obviously a monster deal. That's really good stuff here when you look at it for the Chicago Cubs. And their ability to ultimately win a division and get a bye when it comes to the rest of the Major League Baseball season in the National League Central, which is a very, very strong division. And we are tied at 1 with the Colorado Rockies and the LA Dodgers. I mean, it's amazing that you can currently get the Dodgers right now on the run line at minus 140. That never happens, especially against Colorado. Look, it's only the third inning, so would I sprinkle a little? Absolutely, I would. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen, and the Dodgers' bats will absolutely explode. Look, I'm still buzzing about Mizorowski and Skeens yesterday. I watched that on the MLB Network, and it was just absolutely incredible. Two young studs, absolutely with lights-out performances, throwing just, you know, millions of miles per hour, high 90s, high cheese for both. And listen, Paul Skeens, it was not vintage, gave up four runs. He walked a couple in this game. And Mizorowski was amazing. Five innings pitch, eight strikeouts, two walks, and did not give up a run, only two hits. And it's ridiculously impressive. And I love this for baseball. I love it for juice. I love it for sizzle. And you look at the National League Central and the odds, and I do want to alert you to my Cincinnati Reds, who we did pick before the season started, 12-1 to win the division. Yeah, I still like that bet. I do think, though, that Mizorowski and the way that he's pitching, with the way the Brewers play and Pat Murphy, and he's such a great manager, you know, I still think the Milwaukee Brewers here have a real shot to make the playoffs. Not going to bet them, not going to pick them, but I still back the Cubs as we speak. I still think the Reds, of all the plays on the screen, though, you know, the Reds pitching, the young pitchers have been excellent. And obviously, Elliott De La Cruz is something special at shortstop for Cincinnati. How about Jacob DeGrom? Anytime you have Jacob DeGrom turning back the clock, it's ridiculously impressive. And the Rangers able to shut out the Orioles behind the Jacob DeGrom gem. He held the Orioles hitless until Couser had that leadoff single in the eighth inning. 7-0 victory for Texas last night. Look, I expected more from the Rangers, but obviously that was hot stuff with Texas on a hot and steamy night in Baltimore, sticking it to the Baltimore Orioles. Ronald Acuna Jr. committed to the Home Run Derby. This is great for baseball. By the way, I want you to take a look at the NL MVP odds. I just want you to feast your eyes on this from a Ronald Acuna Jr. perspective. I gave you on Tuesday all those stats where Acuna Jr. has been at the top of everything since he came off the injured list on May 23rd. If you think the Braves make the playoffs, I'm just saying 35-1 is a good bet. I still think Otani is obviously the guy, but I'm just saying 35-1 makes a lot of sense. Yanks absolutely destroyed the Reds. Needed a laugher. Reds won the series. Give them credit. But Grisham, Dominguez, Jazz able to get it done. You know, we had a bet, one of our best bets before the season, of Max Fried getting his over on wins. You know, he's first to 10. Lowered his ERA to 192. Absolutely sensational job by Max Fried and my Yankees last night. Mets and the Braves. Juan Soto able to club a couple of home runs. And the Mets were able to beat Atlanta 7-3. It's only the Mets' second victory in the last 12 games. That obviously was good news here when you take a look at the Mets and the Braves and everything that transpired last night. They have another game tonight. So obviously this is fun, and I'm excited about that game tonight on MLB Network. Angels, Red Sox, Kikuchi, and we love that move in the offseason. 12 strikeouts. Angels are still alive. Angels are playing good ball. You realize that the DH position for the Boston Red Sox is hitting 186 since the Devers trade. I mean, it's insane. I mean, I told you that the Red Sox were going to be a complete and utter waste of time after that deal. Time to give out the best bets brought to you by GBank. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet and Visa. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature credit card. And in the first 90 days, deposit, play through $1,000. First bet, trigger the $500 trifecta. You get a $200 in cash back rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet's going to give you a $100 deposit match. Visa.com/GBank. Visa.com/GBank. Best bet tonight. And Caitlin Clark is out tonight for LA and Indiana. Let's go with Kelsey Plum. Kelsey Plum, over 20 and a half points, minus 105. Want to thank all the guys in our Vegas studios. Did an outstanding job as per usual. Ev, Al, the entire crew. Our incredible producer, the great Michael Cohen. We will talk to you manana. Make it rain without a shine.